We're very glad of Brother Sandy tonight. We decided in the session a little while ago that at our family and friends, from time to time, we would have some of our session to give a word of testimony. So it's fallen Sandy's turn tonight to give that word of testimony. And so we're going to ask Sandy to come at this stage of the meeting and bring that word of testimony to us.
Mr. Dean is absolutely correct. The session decided we'd give her testimony. That's from time to time. But I'd like to thank my daughter, Alana, who, when she was arranging the dedication, said, I'd like my daddy to give us testimony tonight. So I'd just like to thank, and now she's left the church and went into the back with Willow Rose. But it's good to have a testimony to give. And for those who don't know me, strange night, I grew up in the village of Ballygown. For me, that was the centre of the universe. It's a lot smaller than what it is. It's not big now, but it was a lot smaller then. And everybody knew you. Disadvantage being, when you misbehaved, somebody came out and said, I'm going to tell your ma what you're doing. So yeah, everybody knew. And of course, if they told your mother administered summary justice before she asked the questions what you were doing. So that's where I grew up, in the village of Ballygown. And I was blessed to be born into a Christian home. Now, which in itself wouldn't get you into heaven, because the scripture says in Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But then in Proverbs 22 and 6 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And I have to say, my parents faithfully sent me along to Sunday school in Ballygown Presbyterian Church. There in the morning time, I came home, had my dinner. In the summer time, I was sent along to Tullygirvan Orange Hall for an afternoon children's meeting or Sunday school with my dad run. And then we went back there on Sunday night again. We walked there, we walked home again, had our supper, and we walked back to Tullygirvan for the gospel service on a Sunday night. On a Tuesday night, we attended the Baptist children's meeting in Ballygown. But it was through a mission that was held in Mockerscouse, the townland of Mockerscouse outside Ballygown. And I was just noting, a while ago, George Maxwell gave us testimony, and he said he was saved through Mr. Wheeler in 1957. And I'm just going to tell you, because you're going to work out my age, I know you probably think of white hair and I look about my mid-40s. Well, George, I was saved also through Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler, but I was born in 1957. And it was through that mission that I attended with my dad that I gave my heart to the Lord. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But you know, it's easy being a Christian when you're at primary school, but you know, it's easy to drift away. And you know, young people may be weak, and sometimes we can be critical as older people. We can be critical of our young people. I'm going to ask you now, don't be critical, help them and encourage our young people. You know, that's what was wrong with me, and I got into maybe wrong friends. People that I had grown up with had also made professions when they too were young, but as we grew older, we became backslidden and we weren't living the right life. You know, my life wasn't right, my language wasn't right. If my mother had known, you know, it started to taste alcohol. But I remember, even though when I was running about those friends, we had moved to another area of Ballygown. And as I walked home on my own, the Lord used to speak to me. And used to trouble me. Thoughts used to trouble me. What if the Lord came now? Where would I go? And that used to bother me. And you know, around that time, the friendship with those fellas started to drift apart. And I couldn't figure it out. And so many years later, I realised it was the Lord's hand was upon it. And I started going back to the youth fellowship in Ballygown, and I met a fellow that I went to school with, but wasn't friend of school, Keith Smith. And him and I started to go to it. And, you know, it was at my own bedside in Ballygown that I came back to the Lord. And Keith wasn't saved, but a very short time after that, the Lord spoke to Keith, and Keith got saved. And through that, Keith and I started to attend meetings. And, you know, it tells us about young people, and I'm always going to speak to young people as well. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, then thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And young people, you have a responsibility to stay close to the Lord. through Keith and I, Keith introduced me to the fellowship in Lestutter. It was a friend of his who was going to it, and we started to go to Lestutter Mission Hall out between Crossgar, Shamefield and Ballinahinch. You know, but we didn't have any cars, so we used to have to thumb a lift from Ballygown to Shamefield, where William's brother Noel would have picked us up. And I remember one summer night was thumb the lift, and we were very fortunate we got a lift at the 30 mile an hour in Ballygown. And we got a lift in an orange Beetle. I remember it clearly. And we got into that Beetle. Keith got in the back. I got in the front. And off we went. And we thought we were elected. And it was only realised then, we realised the driver was paralytic drunk. And such a negotiation, we had to get him round the, if you know the Shamefield Ballygown Road, the Bad Burner and Killeany, getting him round that corner. But we spoke to him and we witnessed to him the whole way to Shamefield. And we got out safe in Shamefield. And you know, it was through that I felt that my life was starting, my Christian life was starting to grow by attending those meetings. And I started to come to the youth fellowship in Crossgar. And I would just like to point one thing here now, because my wife will tell you of the tea, it wasn't Roberta brought me to Crossgar, it was somebody else. Okay, so I'll make it clear now. I was young at the time. Okay, but through that, I came to the youth fellowship in Crossgar Church. And then, later on, I met and was out with Roberta, asked me out, and we started to go together. And it was, you know, we were very young, but, you know, we fell in love with each other and we got married. I was 21 and Roberta was 20. And I have to say, not only is she a wife, but she is my best friend and a consultant in all matters. And, you know, we lived in a cottage, a farm cottage outside Crossgar, and we were extremely happy together. And it was in that cottage that we grew up. And Alana was born there, and I was a mechanic working in Charleshurst, and we're quite contented with the life. But I had always this inkling that I might like to join the police, you know, and Roberta kept dismissing it with an excuse or whatever. And the when we got married, Robert and I became leaders in the children's meeting in Crossgar, and that was our big obstacle. If you joined the police, how would you be able to run the children's meeting? You may be moved somewhere and wouldn't be able to go to it. And I said, well, look, Roberta, we'll pray about this and we'll see. So I was given 2 dates to do the exam to go into the police. And the first one, there was a DUP-sponsored walk in the Crossgar area, and I was taking part in it, and I didn't want to tell him, because not even DUP was always pro-police at that time, and I didn't want to confess that I was couldn't go to the walk. So I went the second Sunday, or second Saturday, and done the exam. And on the second Sunday, James Greer approached me outside the church, and he said, Sandy, Carl and I's getting married, and I would like to help in the children's meeting. Would that be okay? And Roberta turned to me and said, you know, you're going to get into the police. And you know, on the 10th of April 1983, I went to Enniskillen to join the Royal Ulster Constabulary, and I promised the Lord that I would be a witness to him, and I would take my stand for the Lord in the training centre. And I arrived at the front door of it and got out, searched my car. They got out, searched my car, and lo and behold, the fella behind me was a fella I knew from the area, who was born again Christian. I thought, this is great, Lord, there's somebody for me. And it never dawned on me, his name being P. Patterson and maybe Boyd, we wouldn't be together. And right enough, as soon as we came, he was sent to one room and I was sent to another with 5 other fellas. And I came into that room, and I probably was nervous about it. And the first fellow met me, says, my name's Mervyn, and you know, I'm saved. And it was great. We had great testimony in that, and we were able to witness to the Roman Catholics that shared the room with us. And you know, I had told the Lord I would get down, I would pray at my bedside every night. And I did that, and they used to ask me why I'd done that, and we were able to witness to them. And after I left the training centre, I was sent to Willowfield Police Station, and I was quite content. I was there for about 9 years. During that time, Kyle was born. And if you know Kyle, always in a rush to get things done. And Kyle had to come 9 or 10 weeks earlier. And he was born in the Donegal Hospital, and he was critically ill. And when he was born that night, you know, I spoke to the doctor who delivered him, and I asked him, Doctor, what do you think? And he said, he would have less than 40% to live. That was the odds he gave. And I went home that night, you know, broken. And I got my bedside and I prayed unto God that the Lord would bring him through this, and the Lord would heal him and the Lord would save him. And you know, I shed tears that night at my bedside for Kyle. And you know, the Lord did bring him through, even though he was critically ill and he had to go to the Royal. The Lord's hand was upon him. you know. And, you know, after that, we realised that there was something wrong with Kyle, that he wasn't able to walk. And we had to wait quite a while before they came to diagnose what was wrong with Kyle. And, you know, we went that day to the hospital at 10, and we were told that Kyle had cerebral palsy. And we come home, and I have to say that Roberta and I was somewhat down. You know, we were down and dumps about what we'd got, the news we'd given. And if anybody, my mum's dead 2 years, but if anybody knows my mum, you know what she's like. You know, she never missed an opportunity to witness. I tell people, like, you know, I remember doing up, helping my dad to do up our living room, or their living room, and everything was done, and we're getting a new carpet down, and there's two boys came, no, two hard men from East Belfast came with the carpet to lay it, and it was an expensive carpet. And I said to my dad, how long do you think it'll be? And he said, I would say not for long. The first thing he said, you want a cup of tea, son? And I said, we would like some. And then she says, do you know my saviour? And she started to witness to them right there. And that was my mother. And I was looking at the carpet and I thought, I've never laid a carpet that expensive as I leave here. But they stayed, and she had a knack of doing that. And my mum used to read her Bible and do her Bible reading in the bus going to work every morning. And that's how she'd done it. And that morning that we went to the hospital, my mum's reading was about being dealing with a disabled child. And she came back home and she gave us Mark chapter 9, 37. It says, whosoever shall receive one such child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And you know, at that point when we got that verse, even though we knew times were going to be hard ahead, we knew God was with us and God would look after us. And you know, we trusted fully in the Lord to look after us, and we thank God that he did. And you know, we never thought, as I prayed that night at my bedside, that the Lord would bring Kyle through, but he would leave him with cerebral palsy. I never thought of that one time, but I thank you for the blessings that we have as a family, a special family, and I thank you what God has done for us. And you know, I was quite content in my work in the police. I don't race about looking for going, and it was nine years in Mullerfield. I was quite contented, but my sergeant came, and he was a Christian man, and we had a real good fellowship together. But then, if you know East Belfast, Willowfield's a hard loyalist area, and there's an enclave on it called the Short Strand, which isn't loyalist at all. In fact, if you don't know it, if you haven't worked it, you think it's full of IRA people. And that's what my perception of it was before I went to work on it. And my Sergeant Harry was moved there because of the number of terrorist attacks that needed to change the crew. And I told Roberta, and she said to me, you know, Sandy, I think you'll be there as well. And I said, no, I'm quite content where I am. But a month later, my boss called me down, and he called me into the office, and he said, I'm transferring you to the Short Strand neighbourhood. And I said to him, sir, do you have a choice? And he said, you absolutely have a choice, Sandy. He said, I would like you to go in 2 weeks, and if you refuse me, I'm moving you in a month. So I said, I'm happy enough to go in the 2 weeks for you. So I moved into that unit in the early 90s, when the terrorist threat was extremely high. And you know, we're blessed that the sergeant was a Christian, and there was another fella in the team who was a Christian. That was 3 out of 6 was a Christian. Quite unique ever since I've worked in the police to have that many. And you know, those people, those other ones, were quite hard, many of them hard, but yet when they got into the land, they used to question about the things of God. And we didn't actually know it till later, but they used to call us the God Squad because it was 3 of us were saved. And you know, I seen God's hand upon us in the Short Strand. I remember one night we were out on foot patrol and we were coming through onto the edge of the Laggan. And we were heavily armed at the time, we were coming across. And as we walked through into the Laggan walkway, something spoke to me. It was the Lord speaking to me. And I said, don't go through, wait, wait. And the fella come behind, who was a Christian, was stopped by a motorist. And I stood and waited till he came, and he was there for 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 4, and then he moved across. What we didn't know at that time, the Provisional IRA Active Service Unit had taken over the house just across the road. It was a 3-story house, and they were armed, and they were in the top room waiting on a target. And we went, we didn't present that target because the cover, they didn't make the target, and we moved on, and later they opened fire just maybe 10 minutes later, they opened fire on the army on the Laggan, or Albert Bridge Road, Laggan turn off. And then in 94, there was an increase in trouble, there was an increase in loyalist activity, so we were put on 12-hour shifts. People had experienced that, and you know, I was given the night shift to do, and it wasn't with my normal sergeant, it was the other sergeant, and we were patrolling around. He set out the night, he said, we'll do this, we'll go for so long, we'll go in. half eight, we'll have a cup of coffee, we'll go out. And he sat out the night, he told me what we would do, and I was driving him, and there was another four in the back. And we never, during patrol, we never left the Short Strand, and the other patrols never went into the Short Strand because they didn't like it, they were afraid of it. But there was an accident occurred in the Albert Bridge Road, and the car went to the accident, and they always carried the tape measure and everything, but they forgot their tape measure, and they called for their tape measure, and nobody would answer, nobody would go, and the sergeant says, look, we'll go back and take it to them. So we went back, and we took it out to them, and we went, the two cars had been written off, so we said, we'll stay and we'll direct the traffic. And then the other patrol that was meant to go out left the station, and they always left by Madrid Street or the Mount Pottinger Road, simply because it was the easiest way to get out. But on this time, they went down and went down Bryson Street. And as they drove down Bryson Street, they always drove extremely fast because they wanted to get out of the area. A bomb, a coffee jar attack was mounted in the Land Rover, and because of the speed, it missed. You know, people have said that was very lucky. That was really, really lucky that you avoided that, because they had that bomb and it wasn't going to go away. They were going to use it, whatever. But we never went outside our area, but that night we did. The unit that had the accident never forgot their tape, but that night they did. The other Land Rover turned into Bryson Street, which it never did, but that night it did. And people would say that was very lucky, but I would say no, God's hand was upon it. You know, a month later, in that alleyway, the sergeant who was out with me was hit by a rocket and he was critically injured, very, very seriously injured. And eventually I was allowed to go and see him in the hospital. And I spoke to him, and it's extremely hard, you know, to speak to somebody about the things of God. And I spoke to him and witnessed him, and he said, I know, Sandy, I know, I know. But this day, he knows, but he hasn't done anything about it. And in the same area, in the same, about less than a month later, I was out with the army, and you obviously set out your patrol, you set out your plan, and then everybody knew what you were going to do. And we were out, and I had said we'd come up Bryson Street, and that's as we returned back to the station. But just approaching it, I seen activity in an alleyway, and because I'm curious, I went up the alleyway to see what it was, and that diverted me away from where I should have went, and I came out onto Beachfield Street, and there was a suspicious vehicle, and I stopped it. And as I stopped it, one of the soldiers moved around the corner, and a bomb went off at the railings, and he extremely, well, it was Semtex they used to put it at night, and they put Semtex and they packed it with ball burns, and it detonated, and he was very, very seriously injured. And you know, tensions is high, you're stressed out about the thing, and it was hard. But Roberta took the thing to the Lord in prayer. Roberta took this incident to the Lord and the team, and she prayed about it. And the next day, we were very late home, but the next day we had to go back in early because nobody would do the inquiries in the area to follow to it. And we're in a short time when there was a second explosion, but it was in the markets. And we raced back, got our Land Rover, and we were one of the first there, and they had mounted a rocket attack on the Land Rover, and the young policeman was lying dead in the Land Rover. It was extremely hard. It was very hard to take. And I looked at him there, and I looked, and I thought, you know, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And it broke me, and I was sitting there, and I couldn't. I was really feeling low about it. And Roberta had actually been trying to get me for the last hour, but she couldn't get me after that attack. And she phoned me, and she said, look, I've been praying about this, and I've been given Psalm 91, and I'd like to read it to you. I'll read it over the phone to you. And it says, now don't forget that the rocket was normally fired at you during the day, and at night you used to put the ball burns and the Semtex and detonated at the alleyways. And it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy inhabitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And you know, that was tremendous for me to get that. It just lifted me. It lifted the other two Christians in the team. And I was asked to go along officially to the cortege of the funeral. And it was in the Church of Ireland in Ballybean. And the church was full of people, police. And I was sitting there and just kept thinking, this young policeman, you know, possibly now in hell. And the minister got up to speak and he said, you know, Johnson Beacom was a unique young fellow. Johnson Beacom was saved. Johnson Beacom had given his heart to the Lord. And you know, in that church, even though I knew it had a young family, it made a difference to me as I left it, know that Johnson Beacon was with the Lord. And a short time after that, you know, we were going out on patrol when there was a phone call to the station and there was a bomb in the alleyway. So we didn't go out. And the next day they found a Semtex bomb and ball burns and ammunition set up in tin. You know, about 2 or 3 days after that, it was the first ceasefire. And two members of the active service unit came to me and they said, "You see, you son, you'll not be as lucky the next time." And I said to them, "Boys, I want to explain to you." I said, "You can't kill me unless God allows it. And if God allows it, I can't stop it." So I went back to the station and I got my Bible and I copied Psalm 91 and went back to their house, knocked their door, and they were all in, the whole active service unit was in, and I wanted them to take it and they refused to take the scriptures off me. Maybe you think it was mad, but I felt strong in the Lord. And I told you those things, not telling you for what I have done, because I was in God's hands. I'm telling you what God done for me and protected me as one of his children, because it says in Proverbs 3 and 5, "You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths." And Psalm 118:5 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And I'm telling you now, when you are in a situation like that, you understand what it is to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for not only for your salvation, for your life and how you go about. The ceasefire took place and things were like normal policing for me. And Norfell and I was the neighbourhood police to Short Strand. It was very good until the ceasefire broke down and my job went out the window. And a very short time after that, there was another explosion and the other fellow was quite seriously injured. So my boss said I had to move. But it's very hard to tell a man, my superintendent, who wasn't saved, a nice man, that I just couldn't move because he wanted to move, because I believed it was in the Short Strand because God had looked after me and I would have to consult the Lord about this matter, not my superintendent. Didn't tell him that, but that's what was done. So I went home and discussed it with Roberta and I prayed about it and I said, "Roberta, we'll look for something about going and we'll look for that in our reading." Now I just looked at the Bible and looked for go. I was looking for it in my daily reading as I had done it. And Roberta said, "That's fine." So we prayed about it and we read and read, and I got nothing and nothing. And then Roberta started to get it. She said, "Look, we've got it." And I said, "No, I have to get it myself as well." And I was away for a couple of days in Scotland. And, you know, when I went to Scotland, the first day I got it was go, go. The next day, the third day, go, go. And I felt the Lord's hand was upon me for the go. And then I thought, well, always thought, you know, if I ever move from Belfast, I would like to go somewhere like south down, like Downpatrick. You know, people ask me, why would you move from the Short Strand to Downpatrick? But it always appealed to me out there, and I prayed about it and I said, "Lord, if it's your will, show me to go down or wherever it is, because I have to tell my boss where I would like to go." And I prayed about it again, and after a few days, I got the direction. It says in Psalm 104 and verse 8, "They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place where thou hast founded for them." And I felt that was the Lord's hand directing me to go down. I felt it was in God's hand. So I went to my boss and he asked for a move, and I moved to Downpatrick. And I spent in that area, I've spent the last 15 years. I spent 12 years in a technical crime team working on, and part of that job was working with the dissidents in South Down. And, you know, I was able to approach and talk to these people. And, you know, you can build up a rapport with them. And before I left there, the officer commanding him, I was able to go to his house, a good relationship with him, and he brought me in and I was able to give him a word of God, scriptures for him to read, and I marked out a few things for him. Why did I tell you that? Why did I witness to those people? Well, I'll tell you why, because God spoke to me a number of years ago in Ezekiel 3:17-21. It says, "Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor warning, or speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require of thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou shalt deliver, hast delivered thy soul." Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because I has not given him warning. He shall die, and his sin and his righteousness which has done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require of thy hand. Nevertheless, if they warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. And that spoke to me about witnessing to people, and really, really spoke to me. So that's why I speak to people, and that's why, even though they're a terrorist or a criminal or whoever they are, I feel obliged, like my mother did, to warn them. So why do I tell you about this here? Because of that scripture, and also because of Psalm 84 and verse 10 says, For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And I want you to know about my Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. See, tonight, folks, when you leave this church, you'll go out, you'll either walk or you'll drive out our church gates, and you'll make a decision. You'll either turn right towards Killalea, or you'll turn left towards Down Patrick Street and the many roundabout. But you'll also make a decision when you leave this church tonight whether you accept my Lord and Jesus Christ or you reject him. And that's the two choices you have. It's not a maybe. You'll either accept him or you'll reject him as you leave this church. And I want to remind you, because it always terrifies me, about the rich man in Luke 16. And it says, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And that terrifies me. And I'm warning you tonight, folks, you know, you have a loving Saviour who died on Calvary's cross for you, and he wants you to be his Saviour. He wants to be your Saviour, but you have to accept him. You have to accept what he's done for you. And I pray that you'll not leave it too late. I pray, because the minute you go into eternity, if you're not saved, you'll realise that you're in hell, and you'll realise that you're there for eternity. And I'm asking you to consider that, and consider my Saviour and accept him. Amen.